Hey everyone, welcome to the Northgate FMC podcast. How's everyone feeling these days? In these unusual circumstances, it can be easy to feel drained. Even Christians can feel like their power source has dried up. But Jesus promised that his first followers would receive power, and we believe his promise remains true for us today. This power comes to us from the Holy Spirit, and in our new series, we're going to explore what that means for us. Join us as we seek to create a culture of supernatural expectation by engaging with God's Holy Spirit.
Hi, church. It's Pastor Byrne, and it's good to be with you again for this worship service. It's my opportunity to present the word to you and to share with you what God has been putting on my heart this week. We are in our series about the Holy Spirit, and we've called this, subtitled it, Creating a Culture of Supernatural Expectation, because we are expecting God to do what only God can do and what we need God to do. And we want to be a church that is always, constantly, not just in this time that we're in right now, but always and constantly expecting God to do supernatural things. So we are looking at the Holy Spirit in that light. We are in week three, and I just wanted to share with you some real encouraging words that I received this week from a member of one of our small groups. She sent me a card. And she wrote this in the card: "Our Bible study group has been studying the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we are praying that the flame of the Holy Spirit will ignite our church and set it on fire for our Lord and Savior." And you know what I say to that? Amen. Let's all pray for that. Let's all pray that the Holy Spirit will ignite our church and set it on fire for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me in that? Will you join me in that? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together today, and we pray your blessing on this service. But more than that, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just fill each of us overflowing and do what only you can do in our lives. Give us a passion for you that flows out of us to the world around us, and help us to be constantly on the lookout for what you are doing. Give us that supernatural expectation that we so desire, and we give you the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the main point of the message today is this: the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve others and glorify God. In week one of this series, I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. He is God residing in us. In week two, Pastor John had a great message on what the Holy Spirit does. He talked about the Holy Spirit transforming us, empowering us, and interceding for us. And he also said in that message that the Holy Spirit imparts gifts to us, and that's where I'm going to pick it up today. I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift giver, and who doesn't like to get gifts? When I came in today to do this recording, on my desk I found a Dutch apple pie that somebody from our church staff made for me and Deb, and it just brought such joy to my heart. There, what just a small gift, but somebody took the time to make that, thinking about us and leave it for us, and it just brought a real joy to my heart. Well, the Holy Spirit is a gift giver, and the Holy Spirit wants us to experience the joy of receiving the gifts that he has for us. So we need those gifts in these days as much as we ever have, right? We are living through some difficult times, and tough times call for God's people to love others through the use of their spiritual gifts. You know, 1 Peter, we're going to be reading a passage from there in a few minutes, 1 Peter chapter 4. This book was written to a group of Christians who were experiencing a lot of trial, a lot of suffering, primarily because they were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. So they were going through some very tough times. Now, we're not dealing with necessarily that kind of persecution for our faith, but you might be feeling your faith attacked for other reasons. You might be discouraged because of the things that we're going through. You might have questions like I'm sure the people in Peter's day had. You might be asking, where are you, God? You know, why are you you allowing this to happen to us? When are you going to do something so that we can get back to being together again? How long is this going to go on? Why are you putting us through these trials? And how are we going to get through it? The circumstances that we're going through are different from those that Peter's audience was going through at that time, but many of the questions are the same. And Peter's word to us, as it was to them, is tough times call for God's people to love others through the use of their spiritual gifts. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 10. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter starts that passage out by saying the end of all things is near, and we've said before that we are living in the end times. We just don't know exactly how long that time is going to go on, but we are living in the end times in anticipation of Christ's return. And Peter says that recognizing that, we should be alert, we should be sober-minded, we should be able to think clearly, we should pray, and we should love each other. We should love each other, offering hospitality to each other as we can. Right now, we can't do that in the ways we might like, but we can still take care of those within our circles. We can be hospitable to those within our circles. We can care for them. He says, use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So here's how we help each other through tough times. Through the use of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Let me give you a definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability that strengthens the body of Christ and gives glory to God. And that's what I want to talk about today. First off, every Christian is a gifted Christian. Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Now, I'll tell you, I was never part of a gifted class, okay? I didn't put my all into my schoolwork. I admit that. I regret it to some degree, but you know, the fact is I didn't have the motivation, the desire, and so if I ever could have been a part of a gifted class, I wasn't. I wasn't part of a gifted athletic group. I wasn't part of a gifted music group. I'm pretty average in a lot of my abilities. I kid with the staff and with Deb that when I die, they can put this on my headstone. He did his best. And honestly, I just want to do my best for God, and recognize, you know, that God is using me in the ways that he wants to use me. But here's the thing. Every Christian is a gifted person. I really want you to get that. Every Christian is a gifted person. God is a great giver. And each of you, if you are in Christ, have received gifts from him. No one who's a Christian can say they've never gotten anything. Jesus gave you forgiveness for your sins. Jesus gave you a new life. Jesus has given you eternity and a place in heaven. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in turn, has given you something that you can use to help God grow his kingdom stronger and larger. God just keeps giving good gifts to his children. Here's the next point. God expects his gifts to be used. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. God's gifts are given in order to be used. Imagine giving someone a gift that you picked out special for them, and they take it and say, oh, thank you so much for this gift. That's so nice of you. And then they don't even open it. They just put it on a shelf, and they leave it there, collecting dust, never used. They don't even know what's in it. How would you feel as the giver, right? You probably would be maybe confused, maybe, you know, a little upset or irritated, annoyed. Well, we are not saved so that we can sit on the sidelines. God doesn't save us and then park us, okay, until we get to heaven. We are saved so that we can be put into action, and we're put into action with the gifts that God has given us. God's gifts, He expects them to be used. We have a mission statement here at Northgate, and it's to bring people to Jesus Christ, to build them up in that relationship, and then to send them out to share the love of Jesus with others. And that's not just for those who go on mission trips or go to seminary. It's for every Christian. Every Christian is equipped and sent to serve in God's kingdom. Some are sent primarily to the local church. We have ushers and teachers and musicians and others, and they primarily use their gifts to build up the body of Christ here in the local church. Some are sent primarily to relationships outside of the local body, to their family, to friends, to their co-workers. Some are sent to foreign mission fields. We're sent to various places, and we have various gifts, but we are all to be sent. We are all to be sent to serve God and His kingdom. Everyone's needed. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about spiritual gifts, he relates this to the parts of the body. He says the parts of the body just can't separate themselves and still function. They need each other. They're interconnected, and the church is the same way. We need each other to be complete, to be whole and effective. Imagine this conversation between the eye and the foot. And I kind of draw this from what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12. Imagine the eye saying, you know, I don't like being a part of the same body as you feet, so I'm out of here. I'm separating myself. I'm gone. Goodbye. I'm just gonna take myself out of here. And the foot might reply, hey, you know, that's great for you, you know. I hope you enjoy the view that you're getting right now, because that's all you're ever going to see without me. Right? Because an eye without a foot, where's it going to go? And it's the same for the foot. Imagine a foot without having an eye connected to the body, and the foot, you know, deciding to separate itself, and the eye saying to that, well, good luck stumbling around trying to find your way, because without me, you're not going to be able to see a thing. You see, I know that's silly. I know that really is silly, okay? But here's the point. We are all like that in the church. We are interconnected. Just like the body needs the various parts, we need the various parts, the various people with their various gifts in order to make the church effective and whole. And to make sure that we need to work together, God does not give everybody or anybody all of the gifts. He doesn't give anybody all of the spiritual gifts that He uses to build His kingdom. Who does have them all? God. Only God. God has all of the gifts. He's gifted in all of these ways. Jesus gifted in all of these ways. But us, we only get some of the gifts, and that's to keep us connected to each other. So here's the next point. God's gifts come personally packaged for each person. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, Peter says. We're all wired differently, and that's a good thing. You know, we have different interests, different talents, different personalities, and God takes the way that He has wired us, and He chooses the best gifts for each of us, and He has lots of choices. The Bible identifies over 20 different kinds of gifts, and there's probably more, scholars believe, that aren't even listed in the Bible. I think about the tech people that are here. Lucas is right over here on my left. He's got a gift for this, and he's using it to build the kingdom. Well, that's not a gift that's listed in the Bible. They didn't know about cameras and video and all of that kind of stuff, but he's using his gift to build the kingdom of God. So there's gifts in the Bible, and there's gifts that aren't even listed in the Bible. But here's some examples of those that are listed, and you can see these scriptures, and you can look them up for yourself later. Let me just give you, don't try to write these down, let me just share with you some of the gifts that the Bible talks about. There's the gift of being an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, the gift of miracle working, the gift of healing, the gift of helps, the gift of administration, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, wisdom, knowledge, faith, discerning good and bad spirits, evangelizing, pastoring, serving, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy, and more. Okay? God has all kinds of gifts, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and disciples and followers of Christ, they experienced that gift giving. Think about Peter. He couldn't put, before the Holy Spirit came upon him at Pentecost, he couldn't put two sentences together without stumbling over his words, without making a fool of himself in some cases. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was a powerful preacher, and people got converted by the thousands when Peter spoke, because he spoke with a new power because he had the Holy Spirit. Paul had the gift of teaching and speaking in tongues. James had the gift of administration. Philip had the gift of evangelism. Stephen was gifted to serve and to teach. There's a man in the New Testament, in the book of Acts we read about, his name was Joseph, but he was called son of Barnabas because, he was called Barnabas because Barnabas means son of encouragement. People recognized his gift of encouragement, and so they started calling him Barnabas to refer to that gift. He also had the gift of generosity. It says he sold a field and gave the money to the early church leaders so that they could continue to build the kingdom. Peter, Paul, James, and John had gifts of leadership, and John had the gift of mercy, sharing with us how God is love. And that's not all. We read about Epaphras, who had the gift of prayer. Paul says he was always wrestling in prayer for others. Nympha had the gift of hospitality. She hosted a church in her house. Luke had a writing gift, and on it goes. The church was established and grew because the early Christians used the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave them to build God's kingdom. And you know what? It's going to happen the same way today. If God's kingdom is going to grow, it's going to be because God's people are using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them to grow the kingdom. Let me state the obvious. Spiritual gifts are Spirit-given. Spiritual gifts are Spirit-given. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these, everything we've talked about, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Each one gets exactly what God wants them to have. There's no room for jealousy. You know, I'll admit early on, I was jealous of people like Anthony who can play guitar and piano and sing, and I thought, oh, if God would only give me that gift, and I really wanted, and you know what? I've long since gotten past that, because there's no room for jealousy when it comes to the gifts that God gives us. We are to congratulate and affirm and encourage those who have gifts different from ours. We're to build up our ability to use our own gifts, and they can be developed. I assure you, I am a better preacher today than I was 20 years ago. In fact, I was thinking about the first sermon I preached in my home church. It was at Christmas time, and I titled it, Leave No Gift Unwrapped. Leave No Gift Unwrapped. And the whole message, I would repeat that phrase, and the whole message was about how we need to open up the gifts that God gives us, specifically the gift of Jesus Christ, right, which we celebrate at Christmas time. And so, you know, I felt pretty good about the sermon, you know, Leave No Gift Unwrapped. Open all of the gifts, open the gift of Christ, right? I never put together that I was contradicting myself in that until after the message somebody came up to me and said, you know, it should have been leave no gift wrapped. And then I was like, oh, you know, and I could have quit right then. I could have said, oh, that's it. You know, I blew it, you know, big time. I can't even get the title of a sermon to match what I'm trying to say in the sermon. But I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit because God gave me this desire to preach His word. He called me to it. He even gifted me for it. Does that sound prideful when I say that? That God gifted me to preach? You know, we shouldn't feel pride about our gifts, and I don't say that to be prideful. I believe that God has gifted each of us in various ways, and that's a gift that I think He's given me. It's a gift I'm developing. It's a gift I'm always learning to utilize better. But God has gifted us, and there's no room for pride in that. These are gifts, after all. I didn't make myself a preacher. God made me a preacher. I'm just trying to be faithful to use the gift that God has given me. It's actually strange that I would be a preacher, because I was one of those kids all the way through school, all the way through college, when a teacher or professor would ask somebody, you know, when they'd ask a class a question, even if I knew the answer, I was never one to raise my hand or say, oh, I know. You know, I always was shy. I wanted to be in the background. I just wanted to kind of get through and not be noticed. So it's kind of weird that God would even call me to be a preacher, but he has, and he gifts us to do what he calls us to do. How do you discover your gift? Well, you can take tests. There's plenty of spiritual gifts inventories online. You can find them. You can ask others. That's a good way to hone in on your gift. But the best way to discover your gift is just to start doing things for God, just to start doing things that you're drawn to, do them for the Lord. And God will show you through your doing of things what you have some ability for, what you have some passion for, what other people affirm in you, and you will discover your gifting. When I didn't think I had an ability to preach, people would encourage me to keep going. I found I loved reading the Bible and thinking about how it applies to us today and wanting to share that with people. I'd get excited about that. In fact, just preparing this message the other night, I was thinking I really need to really get my thoughts together for this message, but I was kind of tired, and part of me said, well, maybe I'll wait till the morning next day and I'll start working on it then. And then I thought, no, I'll get started on it now tonight. Okay. That's a problem, folks. There we go. That's telling me I need to reach the end, and we are almost done. So in any event, I'm working on the message, and you know what happened? I stopped feeling tired. In fact, I started feeling excited. I started to feel excited about sharing this message with you. And the more I worked on it, the more excited I got. And after a few hours, I realized God had really helped me to flesh out what I wanted to say. And I was so grateful to him. But that's what happens when we're using our gifts. We find ourselves being excited about using them. We find ourselves really feeling fulfilled when we use them. Let me wrap this up with what Peter says about the part of the purpose of using our gifts. When we use our gifts, we help strengthen the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:12, they're given to build up the church. Ephesians 4:12, they are given to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, when we join together to use our gifts, we not only get fulfilled, but we also help to build one another up. We make the church stronger. We become what Peter called stewards of God's grace. And then secondly, when we use our gifts, we give glory to God. Peter wraps up that passage we read with this, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of what Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, let your light shine so that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so we could say, let your life shine so that people will see God's power in your life and glorify him and know Jesus. Let me end with this. What does it look like to use our gifts today in this situation in which we're living? Let me give you some examples. The gift of encouragement, the cards, the letters that are sent, the drive-by greetings that people are giving each other. The gift of service, how to use it, the turnout to help at the food link, people reaching out to their neighbors, how can I help you, what can I get, I'm going to the store, what can I get for you. Generosity, I'm looking at a whole bunch of food that's been brought in for the Salvation Army food pantry, the people going to the blood drives, people's giving of their tithes and offerings. Wisdom, we need wise people who are also Christian people to help us navigate through this time. The Bible doesn't tell us how to handle a pandemic when we can't join together in worship. So we need wise people who can help us to understand God's will for us in this time. There are people of mercy who are reaching out to others, people on our care team, people making calls, praying for other people, people of faith who are praying in assurance that God is going to do good things through all of this. And their faith is strong, and it's a model and a witness to all of us. So, you know, God is still using his gifts today. And we need to ask him to help us use the gift he has given us for his purposes. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you are such a generous giver. And we give you thanks that you have called us to be a part of your kingdom building team. Help us to know and to use the gifts that you have given us to your glory, to our fulfillment, and for the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.